as I preach that song. I don't know if that song dates itself. It's just as good as it ever was. And I hope you understand that song. And I want you to just play it, have it be a tune in your heart, maybe forevermore. Matthew chapter 6, really going to focus on verses 22 to 24. Let's begin at verse 19. I read the entire section, the rest of 6, last week. I won't do that today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says this. Jesus, smack dab in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Title of the message today is Jesus, Our Treasure. If I asked you individually, do you treasure Jesus? Every single believer in here would say yes. And I don't disagree with that. But the question is, do we treasure him in such a way that moves our lives? Last week we talked a little bit about laying not up for yourselves. We talked about focusing on the eternal versus the temporal. Well, today it is I've always struggled with this. If I think most of you would know the answer, so I'll ask Noah, see if you have the answer, since you're a graduate of FBI. And so I'm just, and now we have second row scholar, and so we're hurting today. But so I'm going to ask you, since Eli's already proven himself in past weeks, 100%. It's a lot of pressure on you. So this is a little subjective, so that's okay. And everybody's looking up subjective now. But it is, if I were to ask you, outside of people being saved. This is for believers. This message is primarily for believers. If I were to ask you, what is my greatest desire for believers? What would you say my greatest desire for you is to do what? Lead souls to Christ, tell other people about Jesus, right? There's just no doubt about it, right? I think that's the Bible bent. It's my bent, but it's also my frustration. Let me just show you here the five bases of Christianity in order of ease. Now, this is all. I've come up with the five bases of Christianity, and I've come up with the order of ease. So you can disagree with all of these. You can add to them. So this has been just a mystery for me. This passage is helpful for me. I think it'll help my preaching. I think you're right sometimes if you conclude, and I don't want to do this, but I would do anything, almost anything, besides sin to get you to tell others about Jesus, to get you to have a Bible study, to get you to have time with people in His Word, teaching others. I would almost do anything, and I know at times you might feel like I would bully you. And I think I can bully people to an extent to get them to tell others about Jesus, but it won't last. So when I think about the five bases of Christianity, these are in order of ease. I think the easiest one would be prayer. And I don't think it's so easy if we were to biblically pray, but I think every believer, right? Every believer, I think you have prayer as part of your life. I would be shocked if there's a believer in here that you don't talk to the Lord every day. Maybe that can happen. I don't remember that happening, but I expect that if you truly are a believer in Christ, you're talking to Him every day. We can learn how to pray. The apostle said, "Lord, teach us to pray." We just went through that earlier in chapter 6, and I'm not so sure that we really pray really the way Jesus would instruct, but prayer is probably the easiest. Would you maybe agree with me? But it's a foundational need for the Christian. Secondly, I call it a church rat, but that's just every time the doors are opened, you'll be here. That's not everybody that does that, but church attendance, if I just would simplify it as that, church attendance is probably the next most easy component of the basis of Christianity, and it's a critical component of Christianity. That we gather with God's people, that we assemble with God's people to worship the King, to give him honor, to hear preaching from his word, that we can worship him in spirit and in truth, and to fellowship with God's people. That's a critical component, and it's critical that we do it elbow to elbow, eyeball to eyeball, face to face, person to person. We've all learned that. It's been an amazing trip these last 2 years through the coronavirus that the opposite happened. I thought people would get so comfortable with streaming that that God's people would choose that, but they know better. You know better. You know it's important to meet with people. Neighbors don't sometimes, because they if you're lost, you'd say, you know what, just listen to something. No, God said assemble. The word for church is ecclesia, which means assembly. It's important that we assemble together. But the second most easiest component, but it's a critical component, is church attendance, being a church rat, right? I call it church rat because when you open the doors of the church, the rats are always here. And so you don't have to worry about that, right? Not that we have rats, right? We're killing them as quickly as we can. I don't think they're rats anyway. They're little mice. But I think we got them all that came in for a little warm place this winter. But maybe when we hit January, we might find a few more. But we've got the poison ready for them. Anyway, church rats, you're here. Church attendance, probably the next easiest one. The third one, stewardship. It's a manager. Stewardship of your time, talents, and treasure. Of your time. You know, maybe we'll struggle. See, it's getting a little bit harder, right? A little bit harder. You can come to church and just sit, right? So you don't have to do a lot of preparation. Well, to be a steward, you actually have to then be involved, right? Prayer, you can kind of do somewhat whimsically. Oh, Lord, bless this food. Oh, Lord, thank you for this. Oh, Lord, I have a need. You know, but stewardship really takes a little bit more planning, a little bit more effort. How am I going to use my time for the Lord? How am I going to use the gifts and talents that God's given me? How will I use my treasure? And will I obey the Lord? And all that starts getting a little bit more difficult. Now, I will tell you, churches are full. Baptist churches are full. I'll just speak of Baptist churches, of people that do pray, of people that do regularly attend Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and are reasonably faithful. They give financially, and they're trying not to do bad things. And so, you know, we're start seeing that. Then the fourth one, and it's more difficult than the third, in my opinion, is what I'll call true Bible study. And I know this. Most Christians walk around most of their life feeling guilty that they're not in God's Word the way they should be. And that's how they talk about it. And so what happens is you've got to have a reason to be in the Bible, and that's why I'm convinced God wants all of us to teach other people in the Bible. Have you, too, studied the Bible more since you've been engaged with Jacob and Crystal? Have you not? Are you worse off for it? You are better off for it, are you not? And God gave you a reason. And we're not sure whether it's because you love them or it's pride, right? But praise the Lord, you're in his word, because then it'll chip our pride away, right? He gave you a reason, and it really, and there's a balance in life. And so maybe your family's like, I can't wait till dad comes back, because maybe you've been just dominated with that. But it's a good thing, right? But we struggle with true Bible study because I'm convinced if we really immerse ourselves, we really drown ourselves, we really just bury ourselves in the scriptures to where we wrestle with the Lord so that we would know Christ. I always say this, the more we know him, the more we'll love him, the more we'll serve him. But most of us don't do that. But give yourself a reason. That's why you need to do this. So we've got people that come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not just at this church, but other churches, other Baptist churches, and they pray. They come to church regularly. They try to manage their life in a way that would be Christian. And they try to, you know, have something to do with the Word of God. You know, if our daily bread is all you're doing, you're going to be a famished, anorexic Christian. You need to get into the Bible. I'm not against devotionals, but I'll never recommend any of them. People say, do you have a devotional to recommend to me? It's the B-I-B-L-E. And it's the Bible. You need to learn to wrestle with the Bible. And it's okay. I'm telling you, I'm not against devotionals. I'll just never recommend them. You have the Bible down, then go to a devotional. You need to learn just to feast on the Bible. It's sort of like, you know, it's like I love steak, and if someone said, "Hey, Steve, you can have filet mignon, or you can have," and I like McDonald's, "you can have a sausage McMuffin." I like sausage McMuffins. I'm really bummed that they don't have breakfast all day. But it would be like taking a sausage McMuffin other than filet mignon. I mean, I mean, my wife, we went to, I've just gone blank. Prima Vista, we went to Prima Vista. Thank you, church, for that. So we did. I felt really bad that I hadn't used last year. So we used last year as I went to Prima Vista. So we went to Prima Vista because I felt so bad. I don't know which made me feel bad, that I didn't show you thankfulness by using the certificate you gave us last Christmas, or that fact that I hadn't taken my wife to Prima Vista for a year. So we went to Prima Vista, and we still have now this year's certificate to use, so thank you for Prima Vista. But my wife got filet mignon, and I got something else. I regretted it. I mean, oh, I was so happy that she would start cramping or get full or something, and so I was just trying to cram her full of bread so that I might be able to have some of her filet mignon. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing, but so I'm not anti-devotional. I didn't even plan that. But I just want you to learn this. I want you to love the Bible. I want you to see the Bible as just delightful. I want you just to love the Bible, and we got to pray and work on that. And it's so beneficial. Isn't it beneficial to have a reason? It's just, I'll tell you this. It's a little embarrassing as a pastor, because everybody, it's sort of like this. Whatever you do for a living, right? When I was a finance guy, everybody thought I was a human calculator. Hey, Steve, what's 4 billion times, you know, something. I'd be like, oh, well, you know. And they would ask me all these financial questions, and I'd be sitting in meetings, and I'm like, I don't even know what those words mean. And they expect you to know all that. As a pastor, right, it's a little embarrassing, but I'm just going to face reality. I don't know everything. So people ask me as though I know everything, right? And I'm like, no, I don't know. And but it's good for me. It'll get me in the Word of God, right? It'll get me in the Word of God. So if we do number four, but then the last one is witnessing. Great Commission focused. It's the two teaches, teaching the lost and teaching the saved. Here's the reality, and I struggle with this. In our passage today, I finally get it. Our passage today, I want to tell you this. You're good people. And now I want you to understand this. I use it in the biblical sense. The only way you can be good, the word good in the Bible is synonymous to righteous. The only way you can be righteous is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I look at you and say you're good people, I will tell you that the only way you can be good is through Jesus Christ. The only way you can have your sins removed is through Jesus Christ. And I believe we are in a room today that is filled with righteous people only for the righteousness of Christ, and we struggle. I feel, I totally analyze my preaching. I will tell you this, I ask myself this question, what is it going to take to get God's people to witness? What's it going to take? And I look at myself, I have ownership for that. I think at times, I give too much credit to the flesh. You guys are really good at talking about the flesh. And so maybe it's because I preach a lot about the flesh, but I think we give too much credit to the flesh. Let me just help you understand this. The flesh never wants Jesus, never wants anything to do with the Bible, never wants to do anything right, but I want to tell you this, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world or my flesh. When we were saved, Jesus gave us all that we need to overcome the flesh. So don't blame the flesh too much, okay? And so I love my new believers. Right, new believers. It really worried me. So like about 3-4 weeks after Jeff and Diane were saved, they mentioned the flesh. And I'm like, way too early to mention the flesh. It's okay. It's because I preached it. And it's true, the truth that I preach. But Jesus will help you get over that flesh. It's good. It's good. There's no criticism. So you guys are looking a little shell-shocked there. Just maybe you're tired because it's the new year. But so I always ask this question. What's it going to take to get God's people to witness? Churches are full of people. They've been coming to church 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. The Bible talks about fruit. Folks, the Bible talks about fruit that's reproducing yourself. I have it in my notes, but I can tell that stupid clock, I might not get there. But even the parable of the seed and the sower, we can look at that and I might get there today. But it's the average Baptist church is full of people that have never, ever, ever been involved in witnessing and laboring to where someone is saved. And the average person that's sitting in a Baptist church has not shared the gospel with some, I mean, I'm talking the complete gospel, and let's just say outside of door knocking. And most churches don't door knock anymore, and I'm not criticizing them for that. If they've got a better way to reach every creature, that's fine. But I will tell you this, the average person sitting in Baptist churches have not shared the gospel with a lost person outside of their family. And I just want you to roll in the last mind. When's the last time? I'm talking not just, hey, I'll pray for you, or Jesus is good. I'm asking you, when is the last time you really went through the gospel with somebody that's not part of your family?
where you shared with them, you labored with them, you shared the Word of God with them, and you were burdened about their heart, and it hasn't left you, for somebody that's not part of your family. The average person in a Baptist church, they can't remember the last time they've done that. Here's what's happening to our Baptist churches today. It's my burden, and I'm going to get to the passage, I'll get to the message. Here's what's happening to the Baptist churches today. Churches are closing, and they're consolidating. And so they're consolidating, and what you'll see is I'm not bemoaning this at all, I promise. So the churches that they're consolidating with, they're having to build, and they're feeling good about themselves. Because we're growing. But people aren't being saved. The only people that are being saved are their children. I praise the Lord for our children being saved. But folks, if that's all that our children see, is that, okay, we have this church, and we're all about ourselves, and we are worried about our children being saved, and then our children grow up and think that's the only people to care about. Eventually, that'll lead to death. That'll lead to the death of a church. I beg you, I want you to think of when's the last time you shared the full gospel. I'm talking where you were burdened and you followed up. And I could ask you this question. When's the last time you taught the Word of God? So I'm going to use you. Is that okay that I use you? Taylor, is that okay? Taylor asked me yesterday. She was at our house the last couple days. And she asked me, she said, what are you preaching tomorrow? I said, well, grab a seat. And so I shared with her, but then I looked at Taylor. And I said, Taylor, when's the last time you shared the gospel? See, I know Taylor. I know Taylor loves Jesus. And I believe Taylor wants to do what's right. And I could say that with so many of you. And so I want you to understand when I preach. And I said, Taylor, when's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody that's not in your family? So they might be saved. Pause. Long time. And so she finally remembered somebody. It was longer than 5 years ago. I said, Taylor, I know you care. And I looked at her and I said, Taylor, you know why you haven't? I said, because you don't treasure Jesus. And here was her response. She goes, I do treasure Jesus. And so it was good for me to... I said, I know you do, but not enough. You treasure something more than you treasure Jesus. And then she was Moses instantly. And she said, well, I'm afraid. I really can't speak that well. And she started giving me all this. And I said, well, I didn't turn to Exodus 3, but I wanted to. What's your excuse? I will tell you today. It's an epiphany for me. And I speak it all the time. It is the reason why we're letting the world go to hell. We're letting people, I want us to be a church. I'm in a mad experiment that I want us to have a culture. Here's the culture I want us to have. I want to have a church that when people come in, they're so infected by us and our desire to reach people for Jesus Christ. And it's hard work. We're going to flounder sometime. We're going to fail many times. We're going to have disappointments. We're going to have struggles. But I'll tell you, there's joy in the Lord. But I ask myself all the time, why is it that our churches are full of people that pray, that come to church, that'll give, that'll try to be in their Bible, but they never share Christ with others? I'm convinced of this. We don't treasure Jesus above all else. I will tell you, sometimes I think of different ministries for our church. If you ask me, this is kind of a joke, kind of not. I think I want to start a dating service. Now, let me explain that. And so it's not that I'm worried about all of our singles, but let me just tell you the greatest derailment of new believers. If they're single, I immediately get on my knees when they get saved, and I'm like, oh, God, please. Keep all, if it's a guy, and I usually minister to guys, but if it's a girl, my wife will, we pray for them, you know, oh God, keep a man or a woman away from them until they're stable. Do you know why? I will tell you this. Does it mean they're lost? Maybe, but maybe not. Because here's what happens. A guy gets saved and, do you love Jesus? She does. She loves Jesus. And boy, she's mighty fine. And then all of a sudden, who do they start listening to? Her. Why? They treasure her more than they treasure Jesus. I've said it a million times, but it's all come together with me now. I said, if you got $1,000, if there was some satellite that said, when you share the whole gospel with a lost person, $1,000 will be put in your bank account. I will tell you this. I think our churches would be full of people that shared the gospel more than 5 years ago. And I'm not beating Taylor up. I know Taylor witnesses to her friend. We talked about fruit that God's given her. And I'll tell you this, she can be a dynamo. You know what I love about Taylor? I wish every one of you did this. And I don't think I was bullying her yesterday, but I don't care. But once she's experienced, she called a friend, first time in her life, asked him to have a Bible study. And she had a heart attack when they said yes. You know this? I praise the Lord for that. I love teachable, right? I told her, I said, guess what? Your first Bible study may be a disaster. That's exactly what the devil wants. It's not like, whoa, you know? I mean, I know it, marriage is wonderful, but it's got a few speed bumps in it. And the devil wants to discourage you. First time you try to share the gospel with somebody, it's probably going to be a train wreck and your tongue's going to get tied and you're going to stop right in the middle of the sentence and go, I don't know what else to say. And the devil's going to go, see, you just made a reproach to Jesus Christ. Don't you ever talk about him ever again. It was better if you had been quiet than if you tried. You know what I'll tell you? Stop listening to those voices and you just obey Jesus. But I'll tell you this, if you got $1,000 every time you shared the full gospel with somebody, how many of you, if you're honest, would it be you would share the gospel more with people, wouldn't you? Oh, maybe it's not money. After you got plenty of money in the bank, maybe it's your health. You know this? Maybe it's the health of a loved one. If you knew, if you shared the gospel with somebody, that they would be healed, I think you'd go out and share the gospel with somebody. I think you might get out of bed at 10 o'clock at night and go to Circle K and say, hey, nobody here right now. Just want to ask you, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You'd do that if you thought a loved one would be healed, right? You do that, right? You do that, why? Because you treasure their health. Because you treasure money. I know this is so simple, but we're going to look at the scriptures today. But I want you to be honest with yourself. The reason we don't tell people about Jesus, you don't want people to go to hell. I don't think there's one believer in this room that wants anybody to go to hell. You don't. But I will tell you this. If it comes to you obeying Jesus or them going to hell, they can go to hell is how we live. Is it not? You see, if all we do is just minister to ourselves and our children growing up, the world goes to hell and we wonder what's wrong with America. I will tell you, I'm finally understanding, and it's not to be critical of you, it's an epiphany to me in this. Why do I sin? Because I don't treasure Jesus enough. I want to tell you, young me, if I treasure Jesus right, and I'm not speaking sinless perfection here, but I'm not even close to sinless perfection. I know that might shock some of you, but I'm not even close, young me, but I'll tell you this, if I treasure Jesus more, I would be more like him, and I would be kinder, and I would do what he wants me to do more faithfully, more honestly. You see, that song, I'm going to play it on my radio all the time, because I want to be conscious, is Jesus my treasure? Is Jesus my passion? Is Jesus my love? I do love Jesus, Noah, but I will tell you this, not enough. I will tell you, I love me more than I love him. And that's why me, bad English, wins more than Jesus does. And I'm not here to beat you up about that. I will tell you this, it will change the way I pray. It'll change the way I preach. Because I've tried. You have felt it. I try. If I could just beat witnessing into you, I would beat witnessing into you. But I can't. Do we treasure Jesus enough? Because I want to tell you this, when you look at the life of Jesus, everywhere he went, he was either training the 12, ministering to the multitudes, or one-on-one. One at the well, Zacchaeus, the demoniac at Gadara, you could go on and on and on. One-on-one, multitudes, and then the personal training. I tell you this today, do you treasure Jesus? I want you to, next time you sin, next time you get angry, the next time you just anything, the issue is that we don't treasure Jesus enough to do what's right. Everything always comes down to Jesus. I'm not necessarily preaching anything differently, but I think it's so focused for me. Do you know Matthew chapter 6? I think if I would ask most people what Matthew chapter 6 is about, they think it's about money. Matthew chapter 6 is not about money. Matthew 6:33 is one of the most famous verses. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because he talks about don't worry what you'll eat, what you'll wear, where you'll sleep. He talks about all those things, but he says seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's Matthew 6:20 that we just read and we covered last week. I want to tell you this. Matthew 6 is not about money. I will tell you, if you don't give, you're missing out on great blessings of God. And I'm not here to beat you up. I will tell you this. I've said this before. It is, I would rather you witness than give money. I would rather us be hurting to pay the bills and you guys be alive in Christ. But I will tell you this. Here's what I found. People that I've not met, maybe I'm sure they exist. See, I was a treasurer for 20, 25 years. Before I became a pastor. So I got to match what people gave with their heart, right? And the Bible always was true. And so I've seen people give and not witness. I've seen people be abundantly faithful financially and not witness. It's been a struggle for me because according to that, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. I thought, man, they're giving abundantly. And I knew their lives, they were giving more than 10%. So why aren't they witnessing? Well, but I also noticed that the people that give, they were very loyal to their church. There's nothing wrong with being loyal to a church. Be loyal to Christ, though. I don't ever want to preach, be loyal to this church. I want to preach, be loyal to Jesus Christ. And you'll love his church. But, so I've seen that. I've seen that over the years. I'm like, well, what gives? Because, you know, if I make Matthew 6 about money, then I'm saying, okay, then, boy, they give, but they don't witness. And so I will tell you, it's one of the hardest things. It's one of the most humbling things. It's one of the most humiliating things. I went yesterday. I was following up on Miles, and there was somebody else at the door. I thought for sure, I didn't walk up. I just went in the rain. I didn't walk up, and I thought they would ask me in. They didn't. I stood in the rain for 20 minutes, and they listened. And I just thought, you know, but... the little voices went through my head, and it was the devil just saying, you know what, these people don't get anything, do they? And I don't care, you know, I'm fighting on the way home. But I beg you this. What is your struggle? God's given you all you need. He's given me all I need to overcome sin. He's given us all we need to do that fifth and most difficult thing. It's sharing the gospel. It's winning people to Christ. It's seeing people saved. I'll tell you this, I'm not ready to pack my bags and just sit and wait for the trumpet to sound. I beg you, you struggle. And I want to tell you this, our church is full of good people. Remember what good is? Righteous people, you're saved. But for some reason, it has become okay that you can do the four other basics, but not this fifth one. I want to beg you, I want to tell you, I think the fifth one, while it's the hardest, I will tell you it's the most important. Maybe not. See, I can't say that because then I say, well, what about prayer? I don't think you can ever say that. So be careful. The Bible doesn't say most important. Ignore me whenever I say that. It's just me trying to overemphasize something. I think we should never go into anything without prayer. But so now for the message. Matthew chapter 6, you guys are like, what? For the message, I'm going to blow through it. You can't imagine what I planned that I'm not going to get to, so I'm going to give you a break. First thing I want you to see in verse 22. I want to explain these verses to you so you can see what they're talking about. So when you go back and you review this, it says in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Let me explain this. I want you to understand this. I wrote some things down because I was trying to explain it. Without light, our eyes are useless. Yes? Without light, our eyes are useless. With light comes vision, the ability to see. Life is much easier with light, both physically and spiritually. I want you to see this. Here's what he's saying in verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. That word single there means if it's healthy. Okay, so if you can see, guess what? My hand just benefited from my eyes. My whole body benefited from me having light, right? So that if I smack Eli and say, wake up. The reason I could smack him in the cheek is because I have light that can order my body to know to deliver it appropriately. That would such a terrible example. I wish I had better examples. But I want you to understand this, verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It's light or darkness. Now look at verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, if it's bad, if it's diseased or blind, if you want to understand that. Yes, it can also mean if it's sinful. So there's a play on both the physical and the spiritual. So the physical, it's saying this. If you can see, your whole body benefits. But if you can't see, he's saying in verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. I will tell you, yes, can you function to some degree? But boom, my life just changed right now. If my eyes be full of darkness, be full of evil, he says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? There's both a spiritual and a physical. But let's just talk the physical, and then we'll talk the spiritual. He's saying this. You have light in your eyes, your whole body benefits. You don't have light, how great is that darkness? I've always said this. I've generally have people agree. Which of the five senses that you have do you value the most? I value the eyes the most. You know, hearing might be second. But all the eyes in the Bible understands that. See, the Bible says this, you either have light or darkness. I want you to understand this. Here's what we think, and we're going to see this in just a second, and I won't preach everything that I planned on preaching today, because my introduction, and you were with me, it's this. Here's what we think. We think we can straddle the fence, and I can have a little light, or I can have a lot of light, 80% light, and just these little places over here, Steve, they're not that bad. Here's what the Bible says. It's either light or darkness, or it's either, and I'll just take you here. This is only my second point. I have other points that I'm not going to take you down. It's God or something else. Let's look at verse 24. I want you to understand this. He says, no man can serve two masters, but you and I sure do try. You and I spend our lives disagreeing with this passage of Scripture. You and I spend our lives trying to treasure Jesus while we treasure a whole bunch of other things. I will tell you, it makes sense to you when we finally get to Matthew 10, which will be in the year 2024. When we finally get to Matthew 10, where Jesus says you must hate mother or father or sister or brother. Well, he explains it. It's in comparison to your love for Jesus. You love him so much that they think you don't love them. I haven't met anybody yet that fits that description, but that's the extremism. Now look at verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon in its basic form means money or riches, but it represents the worship of material or temporal things versus the worship of God. That's what this is talking about. You cannot serve God and the temporal. You cannot serve God and just be all after everything the world's after. But you and I try it. Taylor, your response yesterday was so good for me when I said, you don't treasure Jesus, because I do absolutes a lot. My wife gets on me for absolutes like never or always. And so it's okay. I'm working on that, right? And so it's like this. When I said, you don't treasure Jesus, I loved your pushback. It's so rare. I'm just kidding. I loved your pushback where you said, I do treasure Jesus, and you know what? You do. I worry sometimes when I preach that you think I preach that you're losers, and you don't love Jesus. I don't. I don't believe that. I'm surrounded by great people that I love, that you influence me greatly. But I will tell you this. Here's the issue. We don't treasure Jesus above all else. And here's what we think. We can treasure Jesus and treasure a bunch of other things. Here's what the Bible says. You'll either treasure Jesus and only Jesus, or Jesus will come in second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth place. You see, I want, by God's grace, I don't want to witness because it's what I do. I don't want to witness even because it's a habit. I want to witness because I treasure Jesus. I want to give because I treasure Jesus. I want to do what's right when nobody else is around. I want to think right when nobody else knows what I'm thinking. I want to drive right when nobody else is around me. My wife will give me a heart attack every once in a while when I'm driving. She'll go, "Oh, that's the Minchers." So I'm like, "Oh, it's the Minchers." And she's like, "I'm just lying like I always do." She doesn't say that. But, you know, it's this. I gave you more respect than I gave Jesus. When she mentioned your name, I was a little concerned. Because what did we learn early in Matthew 6? Most of us live to be seen of men and not of God. Look, we all struggle with that. I'm going to close this message and I'm going to just beg you this simple message today. I want you to be honest. Every one of us, there should not go 1 week by. I'm not talking 5 years, 4 years, but I'll tell you this. Taylor shared the full gospel sooner than most of you in this room. I'm talking the complete gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'll tell you this. There shouldn't be a week goes by that you and I don't treasure Jesus Christ so much that we go, "I got to tell you. I don't care if you don't like me. Be nice about it. You'll be a lot nicer to me." This young man that left me in the rain yesterday. He left me in the rain, and I sort of regretted it. This is how flaky I am. I asked him, I said, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." And he said it with such enthusiasm, I thought, this is a believer. And I said, "Well, if God were to ask you why I should let you in, what would you tell him?" He said, "Because I'm faithful." And I said, "Well, you know, there's two options." I said, "If you've ever been unfaithful, you could not call yourself faithful." "Yes?" So I said, "Have you always been faithful?" First he said, "Yes, I have." And, you know, just man on man, I said, "Have you ever lusted after a woman?" And he kind of looked around. There was nobody else there. And I said, "I'm not going to tell you." And he goes, "Well, of course." I go, "That would be called unfaithfulness to God." And I said, we could go on. And I said, "You've sinned." And I said, "The question is, how are you going to get rid of your sin? You think you're going to get rid of it by your faithfulness." I want to tell you this. I do love this. I told you the story before. D.L. Moody, he committed to himself. And I'm just talking maybe once a week. Once a month would be improvement for us. And that's not me beating you up. That we'd be so burdened that we would treasure Jesus Christ so much, knowing that this world doesn't hear enough about Jesus. Nobody's ever told me, I hear that every day. Most of the time I ask people, I said, "Have you ever heard this message before?" And they go, "No, not like that." Because they've just kind of heard it like, you know, Jesus just want to come alongside and make your life better. You're good with Jesus, right? Not that he wants to radically change your life and everything about it. And all you have to do is trust in him and he does the changing. And I'm telling you what, you won't be the same person 1 year from now. So I beg you this. Can we, and this wasn't to be a 2022 message, but it's sounding like it the more I preach. Can we for 2022? I did change the banners knowing what I was going to preach. Each one, reach one, teach one. I want our passion to be Jesus Christ. If we try to mix Jesus with sin, we are two kinds of stupid. We need to walk with Christ and we need him. We need holiness and we need to do it with love. Yeah, these are old banners, but boy, they're good banners. Each one, reach one, teach one. I'll tell you this, we'll never reach one if we don't try. You're terrified to death about your first Bible study, aren't you? And you know why? This is just me being honest. You're worried about looking bad. And I know this. Yesterday, you overcame looking bad. Today, when you woke up, I've been there, Taylor. You're like, "I hope she says she doesn't want to do it." I've been there. But love Jesus enough that we won't let people die and go to hell. You see this? I think it will change my preaching. You may start getting tired of this. Do you treasure Jesus enough to tell the world about him? You know, you might hear that. If I've tried to bully you, I apologize. I'd never come into the pulpit trying to bully you. I'm just passionate about it. And I know what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to tell the world about him. Please forgive me. I beg you that as a pastor. But I want you to know this. I know that if you're saved, you do treasure Jesus. Let's just ask him that we would treasure him so much that it's not something else, that it's not darkness that we're playing with, that our eyes would be full of light, that we would serve God and not mammon. You see, it'll change our lives. It'll change our church if we have a singular focus, and that's Jesus, that we would treasure him. Remember, I've always said this, the more you know him, maybe I ought to say the more you treasure him, the more you'll love him, the more you'll serve him. I looked at our audience today, and you've all been here before. And so I think I'm talking to people that you profess to know Jesus Christ, and I know your lives. Most of them would validate that. But I beg you today, none of what we've talked about today will save you. I really haven't preached faith in Christ. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. You can witness to your blue in the face, and there are many that witness that I fear are going to hell. Witnessing doesn't get you to heaven. Loving Jesus doesn't get you to heaven. You must have faith in him, who he is, and what he's done. But oh, Christian, can we spend 2022 and just ask the Lord to help us with treasuring Jesus? Aaron, I'm going to have you do something different. In fact, I'm not going to have an invitation today. Is that okay? What I'm going to do is when I'm done praying, I want you to play that song one more time. And then when we're done with that song, I'm going to ask Clay, would you close us in prayer? When that song's finished, you stand, close us in prayer, and then you're dismissed. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll bless your people. I'm talking to your sheep. Oh, Father, may we treasure your son. Father, I don't want it to be a cliche. I don't want it to be something that we've just learned to say. I love Jesus. I treasure Jesus. But may it really be represented in our life, that would be represented by true submission, that would be represented by true obedience, in obedience with joy, not obedience grudgingly, but obedience with delight. Oh, Father, I pray that if you can just, if one person, I want to be that person, but I have no right to ask for that. Oh, Father, may I treasure Jesus. May I love him with all my heart. I know I'll be a different person. Oh, Father, help me to understand when I'm trying to straddle the fence, when I'm trying to just be the world and not treasure Christ. Oh, Father, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.